Ladies and gentlemen, dreamers and doers, seekers of purpose and fulfillment, welcome to Passion on Purpose, the podcast that sets your soul on fire and ignites the spark within you. I'm your host, Steph Hilfer, and I'm beyond thrilled you're here. Passion on Purpose features leaders, experts, and sometimes me on center stage. We put the spotlight on visionaries, entrepreneurs, leaders, experts, and everyday heroes to share their journey of self-discovery, enthusiasm, and unwavering determination. We'll explore how they use their passion and purpose to fuel their brand. Alongside our leaders, we'll provide practical tips, actionable advice, and wisdom from our experts across various fields. So if you're ready to unleash your inner fire, shake off the doubts and insecurities, and pursue a life of We're back with another episode of the Passion on Purpose podcast. This is, I almost said level. Okay. This is going to make sense on why I almost said level, but we are on episode 89. I'm so excited. We are in our third season, and I was preparing our guest off air just a second ago that I'm winging it a little bit today. As you know, listeners of the show, you know, we always lead off with our hard hitting question. We kind of go deep right away. We are not going to lose that, I promise. But I was just kind of feeling like it's time to mix it up. We're in season 3, episode 89, and it's just time to mix it up. So you're going to experience a little bit of that today. But before we dive into that, Joe Rare, like the steak, with Level 9, hence the level, Level 9 Virtual. Welcome so much to the show. Thanks for being awesome. Here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And like we always do, no bios, no boring stuff. Let's just dive right into it. And this is what I want to start off with today. Joe, I want to know, what was the 5-year-old, 10-year-old, or 15-year-old Joe doing? If we had like the reverse crystal ball and we could go back into time and just see what you were doing as a youngin', what would we see?
Sports. That's sports. It. Like all I did is play sports every day and night. I was a ball in my hand of some sort. I think when I was, I don't know, when I was 8 or 9, I thought I was going to play professional baseball. That obviously didn't last. And then, but I played sports all the way into college. And when I realized I wasn't going to be a professional athlete or wasn't even going to get to play in college, that's when I decided, you know, I'm going to go start businesses. But I've known I was going to build businesses for a very, very long time. So way before I even graduated high school, I knew. And then I had read Rich Dad Poor Dad, which was kind of like the light went on. And I'm like, that's it. So the only reason I actually went to college before I dropped out, the only reason I went to college was literally to try and play basketball. Okay. And I'm a 5'11 white guy, and as much as I used to be able to jump, I wasn't playing. So after recognizing that, it was like I just was all in on business. And so even during college, I couldn't even focus. All I wanted to do was either play basketball or focus on business ideas. And so it was the path for me.
So how much of like the sports fundamentals and the sports element, the team, the like camaraderie, the drive, the like, competition. Yes. The competitiveness, yeah. Like how much of that do you credit some of your entrepreneurial drive to? Any?
A lot
much
of it.
All? Yeah.
A lot of it, especially the competitiveness. And, it's interesting because it used to be, you'd compete so hard against other teams. But in business, there's so much competition, even just within yourself and within your business, getting to these places that you want to get to. Like all the companies that I've built and some of the ones we've sold and so forth, the competition had very little effect whether we reached goals or not, almost none. And even today, I can't say that there's a competitor that is causing us to be challenged to reach our goals. There's nothing in the market that's standing in our way other than ourselves. So there's so much competition within just us.
Yeah.
But that's important. And I think that if we could compete within our own ecosystem, we don't have to worry about competitors and other businesses. We could focus on within ourselves. And if we just continuously compete every day to be better, that's how we're going to build great businesses.
But it's beautiful that you are able to recognize that, because in sports, there is a clear winner.
Yeah.
Right. There is clear competition.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, to get your hands on Rich Dad Poor Dad is like a beautiful thing to do when you're young. But I'm just like, there's something else that must have pivoted for you to go to see this. What else in your younger years?
I know exactly what it is. And I've been asked, it actually took me a long time to realize what it was, because like we did lemonade stands and we tried to do all that stuff. Like we did as kids, I'm trying to build this like lemonade stand enterprise. Like it was never my thing, but there was always an inkling for it. Especially when I was, you know, basically from like 9 through high school. Like I very, very distinctly remember, now that it's kind of been kind of brought to the forefront, I believe it started when I was 9 years old. One of my good friends, his dad used to take us to baseball games like in the summer, but he would take us to a weekday game and it was in the middle of the day. And I used to always go like, okay, so my mom was a waitress. My stepdad was a cop. My real dad was a failed entrepreneur. He never really hit it. But they all worked, like every day they worked. But this guy was always taking us to games in the middle of the week. There was no cell phones back then, so it's not like he's like plugged in. We're at a game, like we're there, and you know, we're meeting the players and we're doing all these things. My family couldn't take us. And I always wonder, like, what is it about this guy that he could take us? And he owned the biggest businesses in town. And we grew up in a small little farm town, so not that it's that big, but he owned a pretty significant sized business for the town that we lived in. And later on, I realized, well, that's why. And so then when I was in high school and I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I direct related back to, his name was Jim, back to Jim. And I completely recognized, like, that was it. He was building his own wealth. He had his own thing going. And I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to build businesses. And so I've done it ever since.
Because you saw the freedom, you saw the flexibility, freedom. You saw the unpluggedness, you saw the time with kids, like all of this, or what was the biggest?
All of it. Yeah. And freedom, like, so everything that you just said still fits in the one box of freedom.
Okay, but listen, as a nine-year-old, we're not thinking about that. Like what sort of amazing brain are you tapping into to be able to like really drill in and be like,
I would bet you it would come from a place of like almost envy.
Yeah.
Right. His dad. Well, my dad couldn't. My mom and stepdad couldn't, but he did. And he paid for me. And then he did it all the time. And so it was kind of like this, well, wait a minute here. Like, how come he can do that?
Yeah.
And when the dots connect and all of a sudden it's like, that's why he can do it. Okay. I want that. That's what I'm going to do.
I think this is just one of the things I find so fascinating with a lot of the people that end up on my show is like, you could have gone one way with that envy, or the way you could have gone one of the other ways with envy or jealousy, or, you know, like, oh, why can't my dad be like this? And not to discredit anyone's true, like, you know, mental health situations going on, but to just like fester in this, like, oh, I had a traumatic childhood. My dad never took me to baseball games. And I know I'm minimizing it and I'm not meaning to do that respectfully, but there's just so much power in the ability to see through that, those negative emotions and pull from it. And that's what I think is fascinating, that so many of the entrepreneurs and passionate leaders that end up on my show, they can do that. They see opportunity in things versus seeing fixed things in things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Was it when you got Rich Dad Poor Dad in your hand? Like, when did all this, like, I know you said that maybe just a little bit ago, somebody asked you this question and it kind of came to life, but is it just recently that all of this is kind of coming to the forefront and tying together to you?
Over the past few years, that one particular piece of my childhood, I always thought it was the fact that, like, you know, my real dad was always a failed entrepreneur, like, you know, come home, there's no electricity because he didn't make any money and the house is, we're going to suffer. Right. And so I always thought it had to do with that, but I think that was just like the reminder when I saw the thing I wanted, it was like the reminder of like, but I'm not doing that part of it. I'm gonna do this side. And so I think it's created a little bit more of a conservative approach to like finances and things like that. Like I'm not very risk averse. Like I can go pretty heavy into risk. However, I also do it with a conservative kind of approach. There's always safety. There's always never put my kids at risk, never do anything that would hurt, you know, harm our financial situation and so forth. And that's how we've kind of been able to build everything that we've built, is by being somewhat conservative, willing to take risks at the same time. But knowing for a fact, like where I just won't go, right? The dark days, I will never touch that. I will never experience that.
So. Well, you had the blessing of the polarity, and you also had the strength as an individual to see the two sides of the coin. You see the walking home and having no electricity, and then you see chilling with Jim in a baseball game.
Right.
So I'd be a fool, because I feel like if I was on the other side listening to this, I would be like, wait a minute, and want to know the answer to this. So where's Jim today? Is he in your life still?
No. He's still in town. He lives in the same town that my parents still live in. One of my sisters lives in town. His son went on to be a filmmaker and do amazing things. He won some awards. He used to film for the Deadliest Catch on the boats, which I'm like, yeah, I don't do that, but he's done amazing things. And so, Jim's been, I believe his company is still operating. And all that stuff. I run into him when I go home and visit family, and we always, you know, give our hellos. And he's still the same old Jim. He's a great guy.
And have you shared this pivotal moment in your life with him?
I have not. It's funny you say that, and it brings me back. Like, it's tough. We moved to Montana, so we're a ways away. So when we go home and we go to visit family, it's like in and out. It's quick in those. He deserves me sitting down and explaining that to him. I think it'd be definitely a great conversation. So I should.
There's probably so much wisdom that you can discern also even deeper.
Yeah.
And again, like, of course, the appreciation, I'm sure that's great, but like selfishly, right? There's probably so much additional power that you can gain from that. And I just think that's huge. Like, I think it's so beautiful that you have such a pivotal moment and mentor, even in the sense of mentor probably being loose in this situation.
But it was almost like a guiding star. Like he was a principal of what I, you know, he was like this beacon of like what I want to create.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it until it was a long time later and I was able to recognize it. So pretty cool.
I think it's a beautiful segue into where we normally start. And I don't necessarily even want to ask the question, but maybe we go there. But usually I start the show off with what people's why is. I always ask what their why is. And the reason I wanted to get away from it, and this you wouldn't have answered this way, so it would have been okay. But the reason I want to get away from it is most of the time people don't understand that their why is in my opinion, their why should be separate from the result, right? And most people's why is, oh, I want to take care of my kids. Oh, I want to make money. Oh, I want, you know, material things. It's always around the result driven thing, not the deeper, passionate, purposeful thing. And to me, again, like just to credit how even wise young 9-year-old Joe was, you were able to discern that a purpose and a passion and something you should strive for was not tied to monetary, right? Freedom. You know, flexibility. You literally said unplugged. Yeah. And how many of us would just die to be unplugged these days, right? Being with you know, loved ones, kids, family, what have you, right? Friends, whatever it might be. And so I just applaud that you were able to do that. Like, that's huge.
It is. And today, one of my greatest, you know, achievements is the fact that I build companies that are run by other people. Genuinely. And so I don't have to work. I don't have to. And the entire intent with doing that is I have two daughters and I want to be there for everything. I want to be a part of everything. I want to be the biggest sponsor of their volleyball club. I want to be at every cheer competition or gymnastics event, or whatever it is. Yeah. Every single thing. And I want to create experiences that I know that will they'll look back and it'll be, okay, I want to do that for my children as well. You know, my dad was always there. And that's what I want them to experience. I want them to feel that. Dad was always home. He was always around. He picked us up. He dropped us off. He was at everything. And, you know, to the detriment that that might be too much, I don't know. It's where I find the most joy is being with my family. It's funny. Somebody was asking the other day, they were saying like, do you ever go on like guys trips? And I'm like, I snowmobile in the winter, but we go out, we ride, and then we come home. I don't do a lot of guys trips because like, I don't like to travel and be away from my kids. So like when I get asked to come speak somewhere and I have to travel, I'm like, sorry, you're going to pay the tax for me having to leave my kids. And it's a fee. Part of my fee is the fact that I have to leave my family. And so you're going to have to pay for it.
Absolutely. That's so smart. How old are your kids?
One just turned 11 last week and the other one will be 9 in May. So almost 11
and 9. Girls?
Both girls.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How fun. And you're in Montana.
I'm in Montana. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. So
it snowed this morning. Now the sun's coming out. Beautiful.
Well, and we talked off air briefly. You've spent some time in my neck of the woods. You spent some time in the Seattle, Washington world.
That's right. Yeah. I used to live, I did a quick like 6 week stint in Linwood up north. Yeah. And then I moved to Federal Way and lived there for a while. And that was back in my door-to-door sales days.
Door-to-door sales days. Yeah. Well, I want to pivot back to this, like building businesses and supporting others to kind of, I would imagine a huge part of your brand, which we don't need to dive into this part, but I just am going to discern it from what you've said, is that you truly want to give others this freedom as well. And I believe from what I know of you, that you have utilized Level 9 Virtual to kind of really help people do that, because you were saying a lot of great things. It's like, I want to be at the games. I want to travel at my terms. I want to do all these things, but we run out of I's, we run out of me's, right? In order to make that happen. And I, tell me how you're helping people not run out of me's.
Well, there it's, you know, the most people build businesses. Most people get in, you know, they do their passion projects for a reason. The reason usually, if you bring it back, it comes back to freedom of some sort. I want to do it my way, on my time. I want my, you know, I want to dictate my income. You know, all those things. It's the freedom of all those things, time, money, all of it. I take that very, very seriously. And the only reason that I can be with my children every day, like as an example, we had to sit down and I told you I had some construction going on in our house. So I'm at my dining room table. We sit at this dining room table 7 days a week and eat dinner together as a family. Most people don't do that anymore. Most people have their phones sitting on the table. We don't allow our phones on the table. Our phones have to be put away in order at dinner time, right? And we sit and we have genuine relationships and depth in our relationships because we have freedom. And I want that for other people. And I don't understand starting something and working so hard not to have it. But the reality is most people, when they, for example, build businesses, they do it with the intent of freedom, but they never get there.
Very, 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 very
few people ever actually get freedom. And what we do, Level 9 Virtual, we're a virtual assistant services company, is we provide virtual assistance for people, small business owners, et cetera, so that they can get their time back. You can employ somebody who's virtual, who's in a foreign country, where you have cost leverage, where you have time leverage, and they can do so much of the work in your business that you can have your time back. And so I always tell people, I say, look, what would you do with 5 extra hours a week? 1 extra hour a day, but you have 5 over the entire week. What would you do differently? Could it be the drop off and pick up, you know, for school?
Could it be there you go.
Attending a sports practice or this, whatever it might be. But I mean, that's like the absolute minimum of saving an hour. What if you could save 20 hours a week?
Right.
Like your entire life changes. Every opportunity that was in front of you. And so like, I'm an investor, I'm a business builder. So as much freedom as I have in the stuff that I like to, I love looking at deals and figuring out what we're going to do next. Guess what? Because of my time freedom, I can actually spend real energy evaluating opportunities. I don't have to go, well, okay, I got to carve out time over here from that. So that's going to suffer so that I can look at this. I never do that. I got more time than anybody.
Yeah. I do feel like, you know, from a perspective as an entrepreneur and seeing it from others, is that there's always a give and take. It's like, okay, yeah. Well, I really want to do a podcast, or I really want to do a book, or I really want this side of my business to flourish. But then if this is the focus, then this suffers, or there's always a give and take. And I think it's limiting, frustrating, and it creates this like halt mentality. You know, because it's like that, what is it, freeze, fight, or flight mentality. And I think like we just kind of halt, we freeze, because it's like, oh, something's got to give, but I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, I see that a lot. And I see, you know, I see entrepreneurs get stagnant. I see people, even in their passion projects, get stagnant.
Yeah.
Because they just like, I've got all these things I want to do. They can't pick one and go. So I always tell people, I say, well, how about both and?
Yeah.
How can you do it all? Well, the way you can do it all is by leverage. It's by leveraging other people to go do it. And I know that sounds worse than it is, but we all do it, right? Employees are leverage. Yeah. Staff members in your business are leverage. And that's the one word I think that people don't understand is how to create leverage. So as an example, we buy rental properties and we do this. I could go in and I could fix up the properties, but is that the highest and best use of my time?
Yes.
It's not.
Right.
I am better leveraged having a contractor go do the work and I'm with my children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way better leveraged, you know, use of my time.
Right.
My skill would be buying the property. I don't need to be like the guy swinging the hammer. If I'm the guy swinging the hammer, now I'm trading time for dollars, and that's not a good situation. So the word leverage that's the unlock for everybody if they would actually take it and do something with it.
And so I know that you actually do have this. If you had a little quiz, what would the question, one question? I know you have a full quiz, and I only know that just because I, you know, I'm smart and I peeked on you a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you, okay, so listeners, if you want the full quiz experience, go check it out. We'll put it in the show notes. But if people are lazy, because people are lazy, and you could have them ask themselves one question, just one question, to help them recognize if they are not using leverage appropriately in their business, what would that self-discovery question be?
I think this is a great one, and I don't even think it's in the quiz, but here's what I would say. If you go through your day, and most people do this every day, and you go, got to get that done. If you can do that and the same thing ends up on the list more than 2 days in a row, you're not using leverage. Because here's what leverage actually looks like. And here's what creating freedom looks like. You told me that I need to reach out to Jim and let him know. I already, while we've been sitting here, literally turned on a voice note on my phone, left a voice note. My assistant just got it. And she's creating a reminder for me as a task to go reach out to him and do that.
Yeah.
Nothing gets away. Oh, I need a doctor's appointment for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to schedule it. I don't need, or if I do have to schedule it, somebody else should be, hey, Joe, here's the five things you need to do today.
Yeah.
And that needs to be in my notes. That's a simple thing. But in business, it's like, well, I have, you know what? I need to create that landing page. I need to get this social media post out. And then you don't do it. And then you don't do it. And then you don't do it. You're not creating leverage. So think back just through your day. The easiest thing, think back through your day. How many little things are sitting on your plate?
Yeah.
If they're there again tomorrow, you're not creating leverage. You need somebody else to support you and do those things. And that to me is where virtual assistants come in. I hired my first virtual assistant in November of 2008. I've had a team working with me every single day since. And still to this day, it blows my mind when I find more things that I go, I wonder if I could have somebody else do this. And then they do it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
These are genuinely endless. Yeah.
So you gave us such a great, easy, like tangible self-assessment, but now we did that and we're seeing we've rescheduled quite a few things over and over again. We're not necessarily leveraging things as we should. What's our next tactical step? Like tell us like specifically, like what does level 9 virtual do for those people who are saying, yeah, that's me. And what's like the easiest way to get to you, to get into your world and start leveraging?
The first thing that I would do is probably get some project work done. So we have kind of two major sides to the business. One of it is project-based. The other one is dedicated. Dedicated is, you know, for a fact exactly what needs to be done in your business very consistently. And you want a human being to support you in your business every single day, 5 days a week, right? That would be a dedicated person. We would actually recruit, train, and place a virtual assistant in your business. They work with you every single day. On our side, we'll manage payroll, we'll manage their timekeeping, all of that stuff. They've got coaches and support staff and all those things. That's dedicated. If you already know exactly what somebody needs to be doing, you know the skill set, the role, all that. However, if you're just starting out and you don't really know, you can buy blocks of hours. Say, I want 40 hours that I could use over an entire week, or excuse me, an entire month. If you don't use all of them, the hours roll over to the next month. Yeah. So it's a month to month deal. It just reoccurs every month. And you can assign any task that you want. And you can say, hey, I need this logo created. I need 30 social media posts created about this. I need a website updated. I need my marketing automation tool built out. I need some administrative stuff done. On and on and on and on and on. The possible is video edited. One of the things that we do in all of ours is we record our podcast interviews. Then we chop it up, become shorts, put it on a social, right? And we have the editors that do that for hundreds of companies all around the world. So buy a block of hours. Those items that you know you just keep skipping past, they're on your list tomorrow, you don't do it, assign them to the team. Projects on demand is what we call it, pods. So projects on demand. And then you just submit your task, somebody else does it for you, you get the result back, you go, yay, that looks awesome. And that's it.
It's nice. Easy. I love the flexibility between the direct. Is that what you called that?
Dedicated.
Dedicated. Thank you. The dedicated and the project base. Yep. I love it for lots of reasons, but I think one of the biggest hurdles that entrepreneurs face is the fear around, we talked about this, I think a little off air, maybe we did on air, but the risk of like, oh, bringing somebody on dedicated full time, even at 5 hours a week, you know, the last thing we want to do as typically entrepreneurs typically have a decent heart. They're like, don't want to let, you know, somebody down and not have the hours for them. So I love the pod, the projects on demand, the avenue, because I think it's such a beautiful, like great way to get into your world and not have this, not that commitment should be so scary, but not have that. And it's like a great way to try it out and see how it's much practice. It helps you.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that actually delegating, which is what this is outsourcing. Mm-hmm. But in order to outsource, you have to delegate something that needs to get done. Delegating is hard. Most people don't even because the consensus is, I could do it faster. I could do it better. Like if I could do it the best, why would I have somebody else do it? Well, the reason is because you don't have leverage. You can't, you know, while you're doing that task that somebody else could have done, well, you waste the time, you waste the money, your attention is more valuable elsewhere. So I always look at it as you go, okay, highest and best use. I'll come from the business standpoint. If you're a business owner, highest and best use is what drives revenue for the company.
Right.
Right. How do we create more revenue so that we have more opportunities? We can pay more people. We can do, you know, employ more people, all those things. However, there are $10 and $20 an hour tasks that I shouldn't touch. And if I touch them, we actually lose money because my highest and best use is revenue generating activities, right? This podcast, the clip from it, something will come out of this that's worth way more than me tweaking a landing page.
Right.
I should never touch them. And so I don't. And so I think it gives everybody the opportunity to practice delegating. It's kind of like a muscle. You got to kind of do it. And hopefully the goal would be that you get the result back, right? You get the output and you're like, dang.
Yeah.
It was done right. It was done great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let me give them more. And now all of a sudden you just, you get used to it. And then you go, okay, in my business, I need this role. And that's where a dedicated person comes in.
Yeah.
And so you can work your way up.
And then is obviously level9virtual.com is an easy way to get to you. But if somebody is just like, I like this Joe guy, I want to keep listening to more. Like, what's the best way to just keep absorbing your world?
I mean, I put clips of everything. Well, I don't, but somebody on my team puts clips of on social media. So, I mean, literally Joe Rare, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. I've made a commitment that as a company creating a brand and so forth, I'm not a fan of social media. So rightfully, I don't get on social media. I don't use social media. My team does, because we know that there's value for somebody to go see some content. I've made a commitment that over the next year, we are going to massively increase the amount of content that we put out. We've got a lot of new tools and like playbooks and stuff that we're creating that will be available to people. That, you know, my goal is that we just help people create freedom, help people create leverage. And so we're going to put out a ton more content, ton more assets and things that people can use in their business. So everything that's on social media, I don't create it. I don't post it. I don't look at it. So if it's out there and you go, hey, that's decent, hopefully it's decent, know that a virtual assistant in the Philippines did it, not me. So that's kind of a cool way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, love that. Because like I said earlier, like how many of us would just like die to be unplugged? Like just, oh my goodness, just the idea of not being on social is, it's funny because we live there, right? So much, yeah. Especially with entrepreneurs, even MySpace and what we, not MySpace like the platform, but in my world, my industry, right? It's absolutely a huge part of what we do. Yeah. But yeah, there's a sacrifice that we give with it. But I appreciate you so much. The quiz that I alluded to, we didn't talk about that off air, but I know it exists. So is it level9virtual.com/something that we can make sure that
literally show up? Just go to level nine. It's level9virtual.com, level9virtual.com. Go to the website, give it 3 seconds. A box will pop up in the middle. You can, of course it's me explaining to you what the quiz is all about. And then right there, you can actually just click to take the quiz. And explanation, what the quiz is for is the quiz will actually help you identify where you're ready to bring somebody into your business. And so it's more focused kind of on the dedicated side of things, but it'll still support you in understanding what kind of stuff you can get off your plate. So the questions are all designed for that. And then there's like an algorithm that kicks out, you know, or it's conditional logic that kicks out which type of a role is best for you right now. Yeah. And it's really, really helpful just to gain some clarity. The other thing you can do is there's a book a call button on like every page. It's in the top right corner. Our team, and this is something that I adamantly believe we should be, is we should be consultative in our approach in how we work with people. So we do not do hard sales, right? We do not do hard sell at all. So if you wanted to book a call, you don't have to have any fear that they're going to hard sell me. We're going to do is we're going to consult you, because here's what we figured out over the years. It sucks to have the wrong client working with us.
Yeah.
The wrong client has a bad experience. We have a bad experience. Our VAs have a bad experience because it's just not the right fit. So what we want to do is we want to get to the bottom of it. We consult with you. We figure out what role's right. Maybe nothing's right and that's okay. Or maybe it's just project-based work, but we will support you in making sure that we find a good fit that supports where you are today.
Love. I will say that I have a team of about 20. All of them are virtual. I have, you know, part of several of them are dedicated, and then the remainder of them are project on demand. I'm using your lingo, not necessarily level nine virtual team members, but I will say my dedicated and project on demand type VAs have been life changing, business changing. So if this is a model you guys are listening to and you've like said, I know I need someone, but, right? All the buts come up.
Yeah.
I really encourage you to just take the quiz, book a call, just learn a little bit, because it's more achievable than you think. It's more affordable than you think. It's more freeing than you think. And I just strongly applaud what you're doing, Joe. I have found the most amazing people around the world being available to help, you know, each other around the world. So it's a whole world to explore. And I strongly encourage listeners to do that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you so much.
You got it.
And we will talk to you all next time. All right, guys. All right.
See you guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Passion on Purpose podcast. I truly hope you got a lot of value out of this episode. So if you did, please rate, review, and share. If you are interested in being a guest on the show, whether a leader or an expert, please go to getvim.com/podcast and you will find our application page, or reach out to me directly and I can give you more information.